Morning. Today's daf is Lamed Ches in Chulin. We're on Lamed Zayin Lamed Aleph. Let's get underway. We are going to be talking today about one topic only, couple details within the topic, but the topic today is Mesukenes. We started the Mishnah yesterday, and I gave a brief introduction yesterday to the topic of Mesukenes. Now, we know that in the world of animals, a trefa you cannot eat, and a nevela you can't eat as well. Nevela, as we've been discussing from the beginning of the Masecht, is an animal that did not receive a proper shechita, and consequently died without the benefit of a proper shechita. So that animal is a nevela. In English, we'll say it's a carcass. And two things result from that. Number one, that you can't eat it because it didn't receive a proper shechita. Number two, it gives off tumah as well. The basar nevela, the meat of the nevela, gives off tumah. The second thing we talked about is a trefa. A trefa is an animal that has a wound, an internal wound, which means that the condition of the animal is critical. The animal is going to die. We'll see later on in the Masechta, in the third perek, whether or not it has 12 months to live. It doesn't have 12 months to live. It's subject to a machlokas. But it's a trefa, so therefore you're not allowed to eat it as well. If you shecht a trefa, so the one benefit that you have is it doesn't give off tumah. It's not a source of tumah, but it's still a trefa, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. Okay. There's a third category, which you are allowed to eat, and that's a mesukenes. Now, mesukenes is an animal that's dying, right? There is no cause other than just simply it's dying. It's old, it's infirmed, right? It's going just by simply the natural way of the world, and so the animal is dying, and you know it. And in fact, the Gemara later on will give us telltale signs that the animal is dying. Well, the Gemara will actually provide for us diagnosis in terms of how we know that this animal is checking out. And yet, by a mesukenes, what you can do, right, although we'll see later on, some people were careful not to do this, but mi'ikar adin, according to the strict letter of the law, you can do, is that you can shecht the mesukenes, look for some evidence that cause of death was shechita, and not just simply because of its old age or because it's infirmed. And once you do that, so then the animal is okay. It's acceptable to eat. Totally acceptable to eat. Okay? And so for the remainder of today, we're going to be discussing the topic of mesukenes. I know I read the Mishnah yesterday. Let me read the Mishnah again quickly today because it really is a platform. It's the basis for the entire discussion. So I'm starting on the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah reads, Ashochet es ha-mesukenes. So yishech the mesukenes. So here the Mishnah is focusing on one aspect, and that is, what evidence do you need to see after the shechita or during the shechita? We'll talk more about that later this morning. What evidence do you need to see in order to know that cause of death was shechita? So, three opinions in the Mishnah. Number one, it needs pirchas. It needs convulsion of one of its legs. We'll talk more about that later. Rabbi Lazar Omer Dayan im Zinka, it's okay, it's sufficient, right? Listen carefully, Dayan, it's sufficient. If im zinka, it's got to cough out blood. It's got to spit out blood at the point of shechita. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ashochei b'layla, spit out blood, by the way, not through the mouth. In other words, through the makom shechita. It's got to be a spurt. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Rabbi Shimon Ashochei b'layla l'macha ishkama matzak tzalim emaleim dam ksheresh zinka ukemidas Rav Elazar. And in fact, this is not a third opinion. This is a second opinion based on the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, which is, let's say you shecht an animal at night. Now, we already talked about you shouldn't, but if you did, you shecht an animal at night, and you had no artificial light, and it was a mesukenes, and you're looking for the convulsion, but there's nothing to look for because it's nighttime, you can't see. Therefore what? Therefore, the next morning, if you see blood on the ksalim, now, right now, we'll explain ksalim to me, the size of the animal. Later this morning, the Gemara is going to further refine that. It doesn't necessarily mean blood on the side of the animal. It means blood on the base of shechita. If you see it, you know that it spurted blood. It spit out blood during the process of shechita. And through the forensic evidence that you see, you now know that the animal, in fact, was a mesukenes, but it died as a result of shechita, not beforehand, not prior to that. V'chachamem omrim, achete parches, obiyad oberegel, achete tichshachshech, biznava, echebehem adaka, echebehem agasa. And then finally, there's the third opinion of the Chachamim. It sounds awfully similar to the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, we'll note subtle differences later on this morning. But you need pirchus, you need some sort of convulsion. Either foreleg or hind leg, or a wagging of the tail. Or, right, we're talking about a large animal, a small animal. If it's just an extension of the leg, that's not significant. It's got to be a retraction of one of its legs. And all this wraps up the Mishnah is only when it was a mesukenes going in. But then the Mishnah concludes and says, but if it wasn't a mesukenes, so you don't need these kinds of convulsions, quiverings after the shechita or during the shechita. In other words, you assume, generally speaking, that the animal was a live animal and the cause of death was shechita. That's your normal default assumption. It just happens to be that if the animal is a mesukenes, the Mishnah gives us no diagnosis for how we know that. We'll talk about that later on in the Gemara. But if the animal was a mesukenes, then you need to look for these kinds of convulsions at the point of shechita, at or immediately after shechita. Again, the Gemara will discuss that also later on. Okay. The first discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara, which is going to take us through the Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, is going to be the following. Mesukenes mimai d'sharya. So the Gemara starts off with an interesting question. In other words, the starting point for this whole discussion is, it's okay. Meaning, I shecht the mesukenes, there's more details I got to look out for, but generally speaking, it's fine. It's okay. It's totally okay. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that? Mesukenes mimai d'sharya. Now, let me just inject a little more into the Gemara's question over here. Meaning, let's think about what we know. We know that a treifa is aser. Yeah, what's the idea behind treifa? The animal's terminal. We know that a nevela is aser, right? It's more than just terminal, it's dead. But in other words, it's checking out. Or in the case of nevela, it checked out. So we know that basically when an animal is in healthy condition and you shecht it, so that the Torah says it's fine. If the animal is not doing well or didn't do well, so then you know that you can't eat it. So this mesukenes, if I'm going to ask you, without any prior knowledge, where should I place it? Should I place it in the world of healthy animal or should I place it in the world of treifa nevela? Intuitively, gut check would be, it sounds a little bit more like treifa nevela. Okay, that's the Gemara's first question. But then the Gemara follows it up immediately with the typical Jewish answer. You can't get more Jewish than this. The Gemara then says, "I mean, my taste like a diet in dasira." Well, why did you think it was usser? Oh, okay, fine. Meaning, you know, the Gemara is now the backhand over here is, but I understand the basic idea that it's on its way out, but you got to put it in a category. We just don't simply come up with Isurim. Meaning, Isur is something where the Torah prohibits. If the Torah never prohibits Mesukenes, why would you think it's Usur? Where do you come off saying that it's not okay? So, Dichsiv. So the Gemara says, the Gemara continues, Zosachaya Shetochlu. Ah, here we go. Because the Torah says Zosachaya Shetochlu. Now, we all, of course, know that the word Chaya over here means animal, right? But Chaya more fundamentally means alive, right? Chaya Echol V'she'eno Achaya Lo Sochal. Oh, wow. So if the animal's alive, now I know you could so misread this Gemara, but hopefully I'll explain it well. But the Gemara literally means, eat the animal when it's alive, don't eat the animal when it's not alive. Now, we all understand. The Gemara is not for a moment suggesting that we eat an animal while it's alive. That's called Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai is universally prohibited for Jew and non-Jew alike. That's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is life force, meaning that when the animal was vibrant and alive, and you shechted it, so meaning you terminated the life, but the animal fundamentally you had had a strong life force, that's something you can eat. If the animal did not have life force, so that's something, and all you did was just simply whatever life force it had left, you took out, but that's something you shouldn't eat. Ah, the hamisukenis, now that we gave that parameter, now we're cooking. I'm sorry. And a mesukenes, by its very definition, is not a chaya. It's not an animal that has life force in it. Strong life force, I should say. And so, therefore, Now we're working with a Havamina, a good one. Obviously, we're going to reject it. But at least now we're working with a Havamina. Now I understand where the discussion begins. How do I know that we're allowed to eat a Mesukenis? Okay. Now, from this point forward, the Gemara is going to offer. I don't know how to count. It's going to be a lot of answers. Part of the reason why I don't know how to count is because the Gemara seems to reject the number of the answers that are given. Okay, so, you know, I started the counting. You know, I like organization. I like trying to see where one answer begins, another answer ends. But some of these answers, the Gemara just simply seems to just abandon and move on to another suggestion. Okay, but first part of today's daf is going to be very straightforward. Some of it's going to get a little tricky, a little technical. But the basic question is, how do I know that we're allowed to eat a Mesukenis? Obviously, after you shecht it. Well, no, not really. In other words, what the Gemara is doing, this is a little drushy. Yeah. Right. Because chaya literally means, especially when it's talking in the context of the Torah, is that it's not a behemoth. Right. Correct. Meaning in the Torah's world of animal kingdom, we divide to two. There's chaya and there's behemoth. And usually of the two, behemoth is a more inclusive term.
The messenger is
not. Right. Okay. So, but here the Gemara is just working in a little bit of a drushy aspect, and that chaya over here, we're not defining it as not a behemoth, we're defining it as life force. But it's not that drushy, meaning that's what chaya actually means. Chaya means life force. Behemoth are the ones that are sacrificed. They're the ones that are a carbon. Chaya is not sacrificed. Okay, but for you and me, they're each one of them is just as mutter.
But still, the pshat of this pasuk when you're learning in the Chumash means behemoth and chaya.
The pshat, the simplest pshat in the pasuk, is well, no, that's where the Gemara is taking it. Zos hachaya shetochlu. These are the animals that you can lead.
So it means behemoth and chaya.
No, you're right. You're right. Actually, right? Yeah, right. You're right. So anyway, so Einu Chaya. Min da'amar Rachman, so here we go. Answer number, again, I'm not counting. Okay, so let's, but first answer of the Gemara. Va'am Mesukenes Einu Chaya. Min da'amar Rachman, nevelo secha machlal de Mesukenes Shaya. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Well, how about we start here? The Torah says you can't eat a nevela. Oh. Meaning, if it died, meaning, we're really looking at end of life. So the Gemara says, up to the end of life, it's okay. Meaning, as long as you shechted before its life was terminated, that's fine. Once its life is terminated, meaning it's a nevela, so then it's not fine. So the Gemara starts off with what seems to be a very strong argument, which is, look, if the Torah wanted to teach us that Mesukenis is aser, so the Torah could have just simply said, once it's a Mesukenis, once it's terminal, so then it's prohibited. And on our own, all of us in this room would have figured out, well, if it's terminal, you cannot allow to eat it. So once it's dead, you're for sure not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, "Vidilma hainu nevela hainu mesukenes." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that's not a compelling argument. Why don't we just simply say that mesukenes and nevela are really all part of one larger category?" So lo sagadacha dechziv chiyam was minehem asher hilachem lachila hanogeb nevela sala archamisa hu dekari rachman nevela mechaim lo nikor nevela. So the Gemara says, no, we can't really entertain that because we understand. The Torah says nevela is only post-mortem. Only after the animal's dead is in nevela, which means anything prior to that is not nevela. Okay.
But an animal with an injury, though.
It's different. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. But you can't put nevela and mesukenis in the same category. Nevela is a term limited to post-mortem. Okay, fine. So we can't do it that way. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we say that really Mesukenes Nevela is the same, okay, categorically, and why don't we say it like this? That as the Mesukenes, meaning when the condition of the animal is weakened light force, animal's terminal, I know we have not given any criteria. It's coming up later. But when the animal's a Mesukenis, so it's weakened life force, so maybe the Torah is prohibiting it to us using an assay. Okay? This is what we call lav haba mechlal assay. In other words, by the Torah positively telling us, you can only eat the animal if it's chaya, meaning strong life force. Once it's a Mesukenis, now it's in a weakened state, so now, we'll, in category, we'll call it nevela. In Isser, we're only going to call it an Aseh. Meaning, at this point, what is it? It's not alive. Oh, and the Torah tells me that I can only eat things which are alive. Right? I know Lava Ba Machla Aseh sometimes comes out to be a little bit confusing. Right? I'll give you a simple example, a classic example. Kohen Gadol. So he can only marry a Besula. Right? He can only marry a virgin. What if he marries not a Besula? Did he violate a Lava in the Torah? No. Did he violate an Aseh? Yes. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah says you have to marry a Besula, what the Torah is implicit in that is you can't marry a non-Besula. But the Torah doesn't say that. So this is what we call an Isser Aseh. Right? A prohibition that comes, it's generated by the Aseh. Here also now what the Gemara is contemplating is that maybe when the animal's a Mesukenes, so now it's a Nevela, but only via an Aseh. By the Torah telling you, you have to eat an animal with full life force. Anything short of that, less than that, it's already now categorically an Nevela. In terms of Isser, however, it's right now only an Aseh. What happens when it actually dies? Now it's a Lav on top of that. Meaning the Torah now layers on top of the Aseh a Lav as well. Okay? What difference does it make? So the biggest difference, of course, is punishment. Right? Onesh. Meaning if you only ate it, again, this is all in the world of Havamina. If you only ate it while it was a Mesukenes, that would only be a violation of an Aseh. You wouldn't get lashes. If you ate it after it becomes the Nevela, now you get lashes. That would be the most basic Nafkamina. There'd be others as well, but for now, that's enough. So, Ela Medama Rechmana Treif, it's fine. So now, we're still stuck. Meaning, right now, question on the table, we're going to, for the next 15 minutes, we're going to continue with this question. How do I know Mesukenes is okay? How do I know it's acceptable? How do I know I can eat a Mesukenes when I shecht it? So, right now, the Gemara is contemplating that really Mesukenes is part of the category of Nevela. So, the Gemara is going to try a different avenue, a different route. Ella. Mida'amar rachmana trefalo sochal mechlal de Mesukenes sharya. So, the Gemara says, okay, let's try this. Let's go to our other category. Okay, leave Nevela out of the discussion. Let's go to trefa. Because trefa, think about it, trefa is a great case study. Because trefa is an animal that's alive, but terminal. Much like the Mesukenes. And when the Torah points to that animal, that trefa, and says, you can't eat that, what the Torah is saying is, that's what you can't eat, but something similar to it, i.e. the Mesukenes, that's okay. The Isa Kadacha Mesukenes Asira, Hashem Mesukenes Lo Mechasri Asira. Trefa mi baye, because again now the Gemara employs the following argument. If the Torah wanted to prohibit the Mesukenes and a trefa, Torah could do this. Watch. Point to the Mesukenes and say to us, you can't eat that. Now, if I can't eat a Mesukenes, I for sure can't eat a trefa. Everyone understand the Kal Vachomer? It's a very good one. Mesukenes is an animal that's terminal, but there is nothing concrete that there's no actual hard evidence.
It's obvious as an avail.
Huh?
It's impending that it's not as obvious.
There's no external.
There's no external or even internal hard evidence that indicates that the animal's terminal other than the fact that it's weak. It's weak and it's dying. Okay. And if the Torah is prohibiting that to us, you can only imagine now a trefa. Because a trefa means, again, it's the same basic idea. It's terminal. But more than just terminal, there actually is concrete evidence that the animal's terminal. There's a laceration, there is a puncture, there is something physically wrong with the animal. It's mechaser, it's missing something. So what the Torah could have done is said to us, Mesukenes is aser, and then as a simple Kal Vachomer, if the Mesukenes is aser, the Trefa is aser as well. But the fact that the Torah goes other way, Torah says to us, Trefa is aser, so now we could work backwards and say, well, it's just the trefa that's aser, not the Mesukenes. This is the argument of the Gemara. Okay, sounds nice. The Dilma, huh? Trefa is by its very definition terminal because it's punctured, because it's wounded, an internal organ is wounded. Correct. So the Gemara later on, third parak, which we're getting to soon enough, and just a short couple of days from now, the Gemara will go through what exactly is a terminal wound. That's the entire third parak. 23 blot of Gemara. Okay.
So the one outside, the one that
I'm skipping out for some of them. That was just a physical blemish. That was an external physical blemish. That was an animal. It was not a trefa. Vidilman, perhaps. Vidilman, Hainu Trefa, Hainu Misukenis. Vela Avorala, Base, Velo Sase. Again, now the Gemara is going to be argumentative, obviously, because that's what we do in terms of ascertaining what exactly is this proof. The Gemara says maybe Trefa and Misukenis really are categorically the same. Okay, so, and what changes when the animal actually becomes a Trefa? Once again, what the Gemara now is invoking is the idea that when it's just a Misukenis, it's an Aseh. Torah says to us, eat a Chaya, not the Misukenis. When it actually becomes a trefa, which means that one of the internal organs now actually becomes punctured or severed, so now on top of it, the assay, it's also a lav. So im kain, okay, good. So, I mean, not good, but at least now the Gemara is arguing that maybe misukenis and trefa really are categorically the same. So im kain nevela dekazur rachman alamali, umay mechaim kaya la balav assay, lachemisa mibaye. So the Gemara now wants to know, so what's Nevela adding to the discussion? Meaning, if you're right, that Misukenis and Trefa really are categorically the same, so that means that when an animal's terminal, either it's just simply dying, it's sick and infirmed, or moreover, it has an actual wound to one of its internal organs, so a puncture to one of its internal organs, so the animal is both prohibited via assay and love. So now when the animal actually dies, what is Nevela adding to the whole discussion? Now, by the way, you could have just simply said that what it's adding is the idea of Tumah. Okay, so, and interestingly enough, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't go into that direction. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, so sorry, I'm just thinking out loud. Mibai v'dilma hainu nevela hainu trefa hainu misukenis v'lavor lav b'shnei lav m'vasei. So the Gemara says, okay, very simple. Maybe the Gemara could have given that answer. Maybe this is just another answer. Okay. Anyway, very simple, says the Gemara. Nevela adds to us another lav, right? Meaning the animal's first terminal asei. Then the animal develops a trefa lav. Then the animal actually dies, another lav. Lav of Nevela. Meaning it could just very well be that the Torah is just doing this to add lav in.
Can you add lav on the
Yes, absolutely. Right? One bug, the Gemara Makkah says, one eating one bug may be a violation of four or five, you know, upwards of six lavin. Okay? It's absolutely possible. Ela mehacha. So, right, so this is why I stopped counting. Because the Gemara has now provided for us a number of answers of why the Misukenis is okay, but if you follow the Gemara up until now, you realize the Gemara never really settled on any one of the suggestions they made up until now. Meaning, well, the Nevela is also, that means Mr. Kenneth is Mutter. And the Gemara says, you could argue. Well, the Trefa is also the Mr. Kenneth is Mutter. And the Gemara, again, same reaction. You can argue that as well. So, right, so I stopped the counting because I don't think up until this point in time, the Gemara really has settled on an answer. So the Gemara, we may call this one, but just whatever. Elamehacha. Let's do it from here. The pasuk in Parshat Sav says, "V'chelav nevela v'chelav trefa yaseh l'chol malacha v'achol lo sochluhu." Okay, chelav. Chelav is fat of an animal, not the fat that we eat in the animal. That's the delicious stuff, and probably not that good for you. But I'm not the doctor here, so you know that. I don't know what I'm saying, but that's not the chelev that we're talking about over here. Chelev is, there are some harder fats contained lining certain organs of the animal.
Omenta.
Okay? What's it?
Omenta.
So, omentum. When we get to the third perek later on, the Gemara is going to actually define for us which omentums are actually going to be prohibited to us. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out that there are debates in terms of which chelevs are prohibited, which are mutter. So this chalev, the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat. Right? Eating chalev is an iser kares, one of the 36 isuri kares. So the Torah says, chalev nevela, chalev trefa, the chalev of nevela and trefa, Yasa l'chol malacha, meaning, even though you're not allowed to eat the nevela, and even though you're not allowed to eat treifa, but you know what you could do with the chalev? Enjoy it. Don't enjoy eating it. That obviously no, that's chalev. But enjoy it, meaning you wanna use it for fuel. You wanna make light out of it, right? Use it for illumination, right? You wanna shmir it, right? Yeah, any benefit whatsoever, you can get any benefit from it whatsoever. V'acholos uchlua v'amar mar l'may hilchasa amar Torah. Yavo iser nevel v'yachol al iser chelav. Yavo iser treif v'yachol al iser chelav. So the Gemara says, what's the Torah telling me? You're not allowed to eat it? Of course you're not allowed to eat it. Meaning, that's chelav. And as Rashi points out, there are other psukim that already tell us that you're not allowed to eat chelav. So what is the Torah saying to us? Acholos uchlua, but don't eat it. So the Gemara says, you know what the Torah is telling us? That when you have the chel of an animal and the animal dies, so not only does the meat become nevela, the chel becomes nevela as well. Okay? Which means now that if I eat a piece of chel that comes off a nevela, so that's two. That's one iser of eating chel, and now it's going to be a second iser on top of that of eating nevela. Now we have a general rule of ein iser chal al iser. Okay, so this is going to be an exception, like every rule. Every rule's got an exception. Same thing was true with the treifa. The animal dies as a treifa, so now the chalev of the treifa, now if you eat that chalev, so that's two. One for eating chalev and one for eating a treifa. So,
what are the different
types for chalev, it's an iser kare. So if you do it
for
nevela, it's only a lav. Right? And treifa also, it's only a lav. So you'll get malchus for chalev, because chalev, in addition to being an iser kares, is also a lav. So simply put, the person standing next to you says, don't eat that, right? I can think of two reasons why you shouldn't be eating it. Number one, it's chalev. Number two, it comes from a nevela. And so, and you accept the warning, and you say, afal pi kein, right? Good, I don't care. So you're now at risk of receiving two sets of malchus. Now, isak adacha, we're now on the top of Lama Zayin Amud Beis. Isak adacha treifa hainam insukenes lichtor rechmana. Now, if you think, okay, follow now. This one's going to be a little tricky. If you think that treifa and mistukenes are really one and the same, right? Because mistukenes is terminal, treifa is terminal, right? If you think they're the same, lichtov rechmana chelav nevela yasa l'chol malacha v'chelav treifa lo sochlu. So then what the Torah could have done at that point in time is the following. Meaning, as a minimalist approach, what the Torah could have said is, look, the chelo nevela yasalo chomalacha. Meaning, I know it's coming off a nevela, and I know the nevela gives off tuma, but only the meat of the nevela, not the chelo of the nevela. Fine. As far as the Yisra Achila is concerned, the Torah didn't need to say anything. Why not? Because then what the Torah could have said is the chelo trefa lo sochluhu, that the chelo of a trefa you're not allowed to eat. Now, if the Torah would have done that, listen carefully, this one's a little tricky. If the Torah would have done that, and we would have put Misukenes and Treifa in the same category, so now, Ana Amina, we could have walked away saying the following. Look, if Iser Chelev falls on... Now let me start the sentence again. If the Iser Treifa falls on the Chelev while the animal's still alive, because remember, treifa is a category in which the animal becomes even before it's dead. The moment that the organ is punctured, so the animal now categorically is a treifa. If the iser of treifa falls on the animal while the animal's alive, so now that the animal's dead, you don't think a new iser can superimpose on the chelev? Meaning we deductively would have figured out that the iser of treifa lands on a live animal, i.e. treifa, and for sure on a dead animal, i.e. nevela. Elamidikas rachmana nevela mechlal de treifa lav hainu mesukenes. So the fact that the Torah has to go out of its way and tell us not only chel of treifa, but also chel of nevela, so now that gives us an indication that treifa and mesukenes are not the same.
So the chel is like a
litmus. Right, the chel of becomes correct. The chelev becomes a litmus test for us to see what categorically is where. Okay. Maskef lamar baravashi v'dilma lo lamei malacha hainu treifa hainu mesukenes. So the Gemara says that argument is not compelling. I'm going to tell you that Treifa and Sekenis are categorically the same. We can make that argument. It's not. You understand the Gemara is just being argumentative over here, but, right, if the Gemara is making an argument, the Gemara has to know that the argument is 100% foolproof. And the Gemara is now pointing out, no, it's not. Because we could argue that Treifa and Sekenis are the same. And as to your question, well, why then the Torah have to say the Chela of Nevela? Of course, the Isser of Nevela would impose on Chela. The Gemara says that's not absolute. Because it could very well be that you can have a Nevela where the animal died and it wasn't a slow terminal death. It was. The animal was alive and well and healthy. And what did you do? You took a sword and you just chopped the animal in half. And that could be a nevela that didn't result where it was dying. It was a treifa. It was a misukenis. No, nevela could also be the animal had full life force and you chopped the animal in half. So nevela doesn't have to be the end result of either being a treifa or being a misukenis. Nevela could be something totally different. So the Gemara says, I'm not buying that. The Gemara says, even when you chop the animal in half, before it actually died, before its life force is fully extinguished, at a point, it might be a small amount of time, says the Gemara, but at a point, it was a misukenis, or it was a treifa. So the Gemara says, there's no such thing as the animal being a nevela without having it first experienced some form of some diminished life force. Okay, that seems to be the conclusion of answer number one. That's a long answer to a simple question. The question is, how do we know we're allowed to eat misukenis? How do we know misukenis is neither treifa or nevela? And right now, answer number one, oh my gosh, if you ask me now to summarize that answer and put that answer in one sentence, that's tough.
We'll give you three.
You might have to give me three for that. Okay, that's going to be tough. Let's see if I can do this. This is a really good exercise. I wish we had more time. The first answer is, had Misukenis and Treifa been the exact same category, so then the Torah by Chelev would not have to had need to pronounce to us that there's an Isser Chelev by a Nevela and by a Treifa. The Torah could have just simply said that there's an Isser of Chelev by a Treifa, Misukenis and Treifa the same categorically, and then we would have figured out if the Isser is Chal on the Chelev of a live animal, the Isser of Nevela for sure will be Chal on the Isser of a dead animal. Okay? That is the end of argument number one in terms of how we know Misukenis is in fact acceptable. Answer number two. Okay? The next two will be a little more straightforward. I'll be able to summarize each one of them in one sense.
It just says an extra word for no reason.
Correct. And not...
They didn't use that here.
All right.
One basic question. Misukenet and Treifa, they're basically both are dying, but one with physical that you can see and one
correct.
Cannot see.
Correct. That's the only difference.
And how do you know it's dying if you don't see?
Again, the Gemara will give us a diagnosis later on.
As a fever?
Okay. The Gemara will say. Next answer is, we're going to go back to that same Pasuk and Parshat Tzav, but we're going to look at just simply the repetition of the word Chelev. Chelev. This is not an argument of what the Torah could have said, but this is an argument of simply the Torah uses extra words. So, Zui she'ein chaba chaluk mi besara, v'yesh lecha acher she'chaba chaluk mi besara. Look, these two animals, Treif and Nevela, and only these two animals is where you're going to find Chelev and meat, basically the same. I can't eat the chelev, I can't eat the meat. Right? That's true by treifa, that's true by nevela. There's another type of animal, similar, where chelev and meat are not the same. Meaning, I can't eat the chelev, but I can't eat the meat. And what is that? That's going to be our misukenes. Ve'ezuzu misukenes. Okay, that was easy. Next one. Ibai sema mehacha. Now, here's a good one. Okay, Yecheskel, Perek Dalet. Okay. Being that I have my knowledge of Yecheskel is really not good, so I looked it up because I don't know what was going on here, and very interesting. The Amar Hey Hashem Elokim Hinei Nafshi Lo Metumam V'Nevela V'Treifa Lo Achalti Minurai V'Ad Atav Lo Ba B'Thi Basar Pigel. So Yecheskel is given a number of a number of nevuahs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of which prophesied a lot of suffering and pain for the Jewish people. And specifically in this particular case, there was going to be a shortage of food, and it was just simply not good. And Yechezkel talks back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, you know, in of itself is difficult to understand, but Nevi'im, we see Nevi'im do this, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand, I'm generally a good guy. And here Yechezkel, by the way, is a Kohen, so keep that in mind. Yechezkel is a Kohen, says, I'm a good guy, and here are some of the things that he did. Now, when he says all these things, and we're going to explain each one of them, you have to understand that his point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I went a little bit over and above the strict letter of the law. Meaning, there's baseline halacha, and then Yechezkel, he's a Navi, so he's going to be just more than follow baseline halacha, so he's going to go above the letter of the law. So in each one of these situations where he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you got to be a little bit easier on me because, you know, I subscribe to a higher level of the law. So watch each one of them. So the Gemara now goes and analyzes each part of his statement. So number one is that I never had nocturnal emission, meaning I had no hirurim during the day, no illicit thoughts during the day, and that would normally turn into nocturnal emissions at night. And he says, and I didn't do that. Now that's interesting because that's not strict letter of the law. That's, you know, okay. That first one is that first one needs more analysis in terms of how is that not baseline halacha. But anyway, unavela trefa lo achalti minurai. I didn't eat nevela trefa. So the Gemara is now going to explain that can't possibly mean he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I didn't eat Burger King. That can't be what it means. That's baseline halacha. It's got to be above. So the Gemara says, "Shelo achalti basar koskos me'olam." I didn't eat an animal koskos. Now you'll see this a lot of times in Chulin. The word kos means to shecht, right? In other words, there wasn't a case where the animal was dying, terminal, and I said quickly, "Let's shecht the animal." That's according to strict letter of the law. Okay, it's acceptable. I never did that, says Yechezkel. I never had an animal which was questionable, right? Was it a trefa? Was it not a trefa? Or let's go to a local rav. And he says it's okay. Now again, strict letter of the law is, if he says it's okay, it's okay. But Yechezkel says, I never got involved in that, meaning I just simply didn't eat from such an animal. Gemara gives another suggestion, and that is the following. We will learn later in Chulin, an entire perek of Chulin dedicated to the topic of Zor v'chai v'keva. Parts of every animal that you got to give to a Kohen. Okay? It's funny. This is not popular. Like people know about Truma, people know about Challah, right? Zor v'chai v'keva, it's whatever. I think you ask your average Jew, they would tell you, what do you mean, every animal? So we'll learn later on in the Masechta. Every animal, you have to take parts of it and give it to a Kohen. Yeah, chulin animal. Zroa v'chai v'keva. Zroa is the front right, the front foreleg, right foreleg. L'chaya is the cheek of the animal. Gemara later on will you know, give us the butcher's notes of where to cut. And keva is the fourth stomach of the animal, right? Delicious. That goes to the Kohanim. You're correct. So and now
that means that somebody else cannot eat
before. It's like truma. Now there is a discussion. Rashi touches on it right now. I'll just mention it, but later on is really the time to discuss in more detail. There is a debate in the Gemara whether or not you're allowed to eat the animal without having first given the Kohanim his portion. We know in the world of truma that's an absolute. You cannot eat produce until you take off truma. It's called tevel. Okay, in the world of animals, it may not be that hard line. The point is that what Yechezkel is saying is that I insisted Zor l'chai v'keva be taken off and given to a Kohen before I ate from the animal. Now, he was a Kohen himself, and Rashi writes on that. Right, that's exactly the point, says Rashi. Sorry. That he himself could have just simply eaten it because he was a Kohen. And he, again, to go a little bit above the letter of the law, he made sure to take it off and seems like from Rashi, give it to another Kohen. Okay. I'm not sure about that last point I just made.
Right.
Correct. Correct. That's the way Rashi explains it. Okay. Okay, so now the Gemara is articulating. Look, one of the things that Yecheskel says is the animal was a mesukenes, and I never ate from a mesukenes. Okay? And that is going above the letter of the law. And the Gemara says, obviously, but if mesukenes was aser, so then what's he being proud of? If mesukenes is the same as nevelin, the same as trefa, so then what's Yecheskel saying? I never ate a mesukenes. Okay, good. As any Jew shouldn't eat a mesukenes, but obviously his point is that it's technically okay. Strict letter of the law, so it's fine, and I went above that. So, hechi dami mesukenes. Yeah, you know what? I'll look at it later on. The hero thing really bothers me now. Like, that's...
It's Tosfos, the hero. Tosfos.
Where is it? Where's Tosfos?
Tosfos, he brings Baba Basra, Shalosh Dvarim She'en Adon Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yom, very bottom line.
Where are you? Very good. Tosfos answers, by the way, to the question of what about the Hirhurim having bad thoughts during the day? So Tosfos answers, Shlosha Dvarim, Ein Adam Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yom, Hira Aver V'Lashon Hara, V'Iyun Tefila. Right, so the Gemara in Baba Basra makes a concession that, look, even though here is prohibited, but reality is that's a tough one. Controlling thoughts is a tough one.
But and you're not ever unless you dwell on it. So if you push the thought away, then you're still not
ever. I don't know if that's true.
Maybe he didn't even have the thought to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the Gemara's point. But I don't know if that's true, though. In other words, even if it's just a little bit. Look at the other things the Gemara mentions. The Lashon Hara, right? You're not going to argue that a little bit of Lashon Hara is okay. I mean, that's what we say. It's just a little bit. Right. Okay. All right.
And tefillah, how do you
Iyun tefillah means kavana.
Without forgetting where you are, at least.
I think everyone does that. At least. Okay. All right. Very good. Aaron, very good. Okay. So now back. Okay. So, right there, finishing the Gemara, Yecheskel, right, Rebus Yecheskel, Eli Amar, Isir, my Rebus Yecheskel. Okay. Yeah, we're done. Not with the daf, but with now, I guess we'll call it three answers of the Gemara. How do I know Mr. Kenneth is okay? So the first answer was based on, here's what the Torah could have said, the Torah didn't go that way, and, okay, and again, go back to the tape. Listen to the tape. Two, the repetition of Chelev, meaning, Chelev of Trefa, Chelev of Nevela, but there's another animal, similar, where the Chelev is also, but the meat is okay, and that's Mesukenes. Third answer of the Gemara is Yecheskel. Now, as to the third answer, so you'll say to me, that's Yecheskel, that's a Navi, that's not a Chumash, that's not a Pasuk, so I will give you the classic answer that the Gemara does not provide over here, but the Gemara always answers when asked such a question, which is, Yecheskel is just a Gili Milsa, meaning, it was always, we always know Mesukenes was okay. Maybe it's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, part of the tradition, and the Yecheskel just simply, you know, teases it out, so to say. Actually puts it in print. Although over here, to be honest with you, it's not even explicit in the Pasuk in Yecheskel. It's only the way we darshan, not we, but the Gemara darshan to the Pasuk. Okay. The question that, you know, frequently asked questions about Mesukenes, which I've already been, you know, asked a number of times, I told you to wait. Thanks for your patience. The Gemara now talks about Heichi Dami Mesukenes. So what's the diagnosis? How do we know that the animal now is entering its final stages of life? Where now it's in the category of Mesukenes. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol Shema Amidah Mosav Eino Omedes. So the Gemara gives a very simple diagnosis, and that is, it can't stand. Okay? Cannot stand on its own. And not only that, but you try to prop it up, and it comes and it just squats right back down again. At that point in time now, the animal is a Mesukenes, and okay. So now it's in the final stages of life. So Rav Chanina bar Shammai Mishmei the Rav Amar Afilo Ochlos Bikius Rami bar Yecheskel Amar Afilo Ochlos Koros. Even if its chewing ability is still really strong, it can eat wood, right? Or chew on wood. So in other words, from a chewing standpoint, it's strong. It doesn't matter. if it can't walk, if it loses its ability to walk on its own, stand on its own, I should say, at that point in time, now it's in the world of Mesukenes. So the Gemara gives a slightly different version of what we just learned, but it comes out pretty much the same. If you stand it and it cannot stand on its own, even if it's able to chew, even if it has an ability to chew. Even if it's able to chew wood, it really comes out to be the same point. Okay. Ashkechinu Shmuel Tamida de Rav Amalei Mai Amarav Mesukenes. So Shmuel finds the students of Rav, right? The one I always point to is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is a student of both, right? Rav and Shmuel were both Rosh Yeshiva in two towns next to one another. Rav was the head of Yeshiva of Sura, and Shmuel was the head of the Yeshiva Naharda. Okay, and after the death of Rav, by the way, Sura closed, meaning Sura did not last the death of Rav. Did not survive the death of Rav. Naharda, Pumbedisa, those are yeshivas that lasted for centuries. So Rav Yehuda, probably the best example, at least I could think of, was a student of Rav, and then after the death of Rav, he moved and he learned by Shmuel. So Shmuel had tremendous reverence towards Rav, as we'll see in just a moment, and Shmuel often wanted to know what Rav said about certain things. We find Rav and Shmuel argue all the time, but, you know, argue meaning in Torah and Halacha, right? Shmuel had tremendous reverence. So he finds one of the students of Rav, and he says, can you give me over what Rav said vis-a-vis Mesukenes? So Amrulay, so he asked a number of Talmidim. So Amrulay, they said to him, Hachem Rav, goa, v'tilarei, v'kishka shaba azna harize pirchus. So Rav gave other signs of pirchus, meaning, once the animal is a Mesukenes, and that now we know means that the animal cannot stand on its own, and you shech the animal, so you need now hard evidence, concrete evidence that the animal died, cause of death was shechita, not because it was dying. In the Mishnah, we talked about either spurting blood, coughing blood, or we talked about extension and retraction of the arm. Rav gives more simanim, more signs. We're on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, either goa. Goa means to produce a sound. Okay. I'm not quite sure, just sharing with you my lack of understanding. I'm not quite sure. After you cut the trachea, an animal, I never was present in the for the shechting of an animal. The animal produces a sound after it's shechted?
It's hard.
It's hard, right? Okay, so I don't fully understand that. Hitila rei, excreting after being shechted, v'kishka shaba azna, or a wagging of the tail. So Hari is a pirchus. The Rav says all those things are pirchus. I'm sorry, you're right, right. I'm sorry. Right, wagging of the ear. Ozen is an ear. Okay.
What are those signs? Those are signs that.
Of course of death. Meaning that the cause of death was shechita, not that the animal's life extinguished on its own.
Sign of vitality.
Right. These are signs of vitality, meaning it was alive up right up to the point of shechita. So Hari Zepirchus Amalu Itzrich Leila Avla Azuze One. So Shmuel says, is that what Abba says? Now Abba means father. So Rashi writes over here that Abba is a term of reverence, right? Right. Much like you're supposed to have. Not supposed to. You're obligated to have reverence and respect for your parents. So, right? So, Abba became a term that was used for reverence, meaning Shmuel had tremendous reverence for Rav, and therefore Shmuel called Rav Abba. Tosos quotes in the name of the Aruch. Right. That's what Tosos quotes in the name of the Aruch, that was actually his name. His name was Abba. Okay? Not common, but I know people to this day who have the name Abba. So that's his name. So and Rav, it's interesting. It's a flip. Rav is a term of reverence that we use to describe him, but really his name wasn't Rav. His name was Abba. Similar, says Tosos, to Rebbe, meaning we'll call him Rebbe, but he's not Rebbe. It's Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. But as a term of reverence, we just simply call him Rebbe. So lo itzrich leila Abba lazuze une. Right, Shmuel says, what? right? Wiggling of the ear? That's a lot. Okay. Shani Omer, Kol Sheino, Dram Shei Misa Osem, Ma'u Ninu, Dram Shei Hamisa Osem, Ravana Ledidim, Mefresh Lemonade, Demar Shmol, Haisa Yadak Fufa U Pashta, Davar Shei Misa Osem Pshuta, V'kafafa Dram Shei Misa Osem, I'm sorry, Pshuta V'kafafa Dram Shei Misa Osem. So the Gemara Shmuel says, look, all I need is something which doesn't normally happen when the animal dies. Meaning, I need the animal to show some sort of jerk, some sort of nervous reaction, some sort of physical reaction that shows that the animal had vitality and it just didn't simply die. Now, an extension of the arm, okay, thankfully I've not been around at a lot of termination of life. But the Gemara tells us that the extension of an arm by itself, that's a normal reaction to death. If you contract the arm, retract the arm, that shows that there was vitality even, you know, that's an indication of vitality. So Shmuel says, all I need to see, and you don't need to see a wiggling of the ear, all you need to see is some retraction of some of the limbs of the animal, and that would be sufficient.
Did draft hold those signs?
Good question. I'm not sure. Right? That's really good. Rashi says, by the way, it's any one of the things that he just mentioned. I can't imagine that Rav is arguing with the Mishnah. It's just difficult to imagine that. He's saying this to the exception, to the exclusion of the Mishnah. But apparently, and again, I don't know this to be factual. I'm relying on Shmuel. Shmuel says that's excessive, what Rav is suggesting. That we know, wiggling of the ear. You don't need that much. Okay, let's do a little bit more. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, what are you telling me? Meaning, what Shmuel just told us is really in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have an animal, small animal, and all it did was just extend its arm, that doesn't indicate anything. That's what happens when animals die. If it contracted its arm, retracted its arm, that is a sign of vitality. That means that it was alive right up until the point of Shechita. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? If all you had the Mishnah, it wouldn't have been enough. From the Mishnah, what you might have thought is that you need three movements. Kaifa, you need a contraction, a extension, and a contraction. You might have thought that that's required. So, avapshuta v'kafafta, lo. But if all it did was just one movement, one retraction, that wouldn't have been enough, kamash malan. So that's what Shmuel is coming to teach us, that really is all you need. Okay, meisve. The Gemara now is going to challenge. Okay, let's pause over here. I'd rather go on, but let's pause over here. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to finish up the discussion. One of the bigger discussions that we're going to finish up with tomorrow is the following. We now basically established, let's quickly review. We've now basically established that if the animal is a mesukenis and you shecht it, it's okay. But there are two things that we have to identify. First of all, how do you know it's a mesukenis? What's the diagnosis? And the Gemara says, inability to stand on its own. Okay, at that point in time, now the animal is a mesukenis. Okay, that's a sign. That is where the Gemara says that's a sign of the animal being a mesukenis. Okay. So now that means that you can check and you can eat it, but you have to know with positive identification that the animal's, the cause of death was shechita and not because the animal was dying. What is cause of, how do you know what is evidence for cause of death? So the Mishnah brought in three opinions. Tomorrow we'll conclude which opinion we follow. And Rav added a couple of more. We're going to further analyze them tomorrow. And the last big issue which we're going to be discussing tomorrow is, when do you need to see these vital signs? Meaning, shechting is a process, right? You start with an incision and you go all the way through. At what point during the shechita do you actually need to see these vital signs of life and that so that you know that the cause of death was during shechita and not beforehand? That's a big discussion that comes up tomorrow. We'll finish that up tomorrow. And obviously tomorrow we'll finish Mr. Kenneth and we'll move on in the parak.